Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Bridge, was written by Joseph Mindel and is based on true incidents in the life of Thomas Mann, with quotations from Order of the Day by Thomas Mann, published by Alfred A. Knopf.
An artist builds a bridge between life and mind. He may build with color, or form, or tone, or words. But always the bridge is between event and meaning, between the world and one who lives in it, that is to say, anyone. For the thoroughfare is not private. Let us then walk the bridge of Thomas Mann. I will tell you about Thomas Mann, but if you ask, is the story true? Then you must not expect the answer to be either yes or no. Only remember that if the link between reality and imagination is slender, yet it can support the world and truth besides. Then I will tell you first how Thomas Mann once watched a performance of Hamlet.
Oh, I die, Horatio. The potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit. The rest is silence. Now cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince, and flight of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Thomas. Thomas, it's over.
Yes, Katya.
Then come.
Yes, of course. Let me help you with your coat, my dear.
Thank you. We're going backstage. Don't you remember?
Oh, I would rather not see Hamlet, that is Herr Junger, not just now.
Now, we promised we must go, Thomas.
Well, I suppose we must. Well, pardon me. Excuse me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a moving performance, Herr Junger.
You are most gracious, gnädige Frau.
But I really mean it. And I'm sure that my husband agrees with me. Don't you, Thomas?
Oh, forgive me. I was remembering the dueling scene when the blood flows from your arm.
The blood, Hermann, was nothing more nor less than tomato sauce.
No.
Well, Hermann, I give 6 performances each week. I'm afraid I could not spare quite so much blood.
Naturally.
Now, Thomas, you didn't really believe.
Of course not, my dear.
No. Oh, I'm very sorry, Hermann. That is, I regret that I have... I am a clumsy ox.
Thomas.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking.
I'm afraid that Herr Junger is rather upset.
Please, my dear sir,
quite all right. I have spoiled your enjoyment entirely.
No, quite the contrary. It was a remarkable illusion.
It was?
I saw blood. With nothing but tomato sauce, you made me believe that I was seeing real blood. Allow me to congratulate you, sir. It was a moment of artistic creation.
It was not always easy to know when Thomas Mann was serious. But then he might have said that it is not always easy to know illusion from reality. And this delighted him, although it sometimes gave him cause to reflect.
You know, Katya, a very strange thing happened today.
Did it?
I met Felix Krull.
Oh, I hope he and his family are well.
Katya, Felix Krull.
Who? Oh, Felix Krull, the story you wrote.
Yeah, there he was. I don't even remember the man's name. The same walk that I described, the same manner of talking, and a scoundrel, I'm sure, a real scoundrel.
But charming.
Oh, quite charming. It was an upsetting experience.
I would have thought you'd like to compare your Felix Krull with his model.
There was no model, Katya. I invented Felix Krull from head to foot, inside and out.
Oh, that is disconcerting.
That is, I think I invented him.
You've never met this man before?
No, not that I remember. Oh, yes, old Müller, the critic, was there.
Did he also recognize you, Felix Krull?
Oh, he winked and nodded with a knowing look in his eye.
Ah, you're pleased with yourself, aren't you?
Oh, he took me aside and talked at some length about his astuteness.
I know what you're thinking, Thomas.
Do you, Katya?
You're thinking, what a devil of a fellow you are, aren't you?
Why, I never said...
I can read it in your face. How you lead people around by the nose, you're thinking. You create a world, and they believe in it.
But I don't fool you, do I?
But of course you do. You're the Zauberer, aren't you? The sorcerer?
Am I? Tell me, do sorcerers also manage sometimes to fool themselves?
A writer builds a bridge, but it may be that he does not always know how he builds it, nor does he always know in the beginning if it crosses from one shore to another. For Thomas Mann, the beginning was when, at 25, he wrote his first novel and sent it to a publisher.
You are Thomas Mann?
You were expecting me, I hope?
Yes, of course. Only I thought you would be an older man.
Oh, is that important?
What? Oh, not at all. Well, I asked you to come to see me.
It was very good of you, sir.
But that doesn't mean I've decided to publish your novel. You understand?
I understand. If I may have the manuscript...
Sit down, young man. I want to talk to you. I knew your grandfather, the consul, and your father. Senator from Lübeck, wasn't he? And three times mayor of the city.
Twice.
Yes. Fine man. Highly respected merchant. Now tell me, do you think it is, what shall I say, proper to write a story about your own family?
But it's not the story of my family.
Oh, come on now, Hermann, I've read your manuscript. The old man a consul, his son a senator, both merchants. Well, you have taken liberties, of course, but still... Now, why did you choose to write about them?
I wrote about those things that I knew.
What's the world coming to? Do they no longer teach young people to be logical?
It is not a question of logic.
On the one hand, it's not your family, you see, and on the other, whom else can you write about? Well, you can't have it both ways. Which is it?
I think it is both. I have written what I know and what I have imagined, and I hope that what I have made is more than the sum of the two.
Hermann, I would like to read your manuscript again. It may be that I will, after all, publish your book.
The novel that was almost rejected was Buddenbrook's, eventually to be read by millions and earn the Nobel Prize for its author. It was the first arch of the bridge that Thomas Mann built with care and delicacy, and sometimes with changes in direction. For in the years after the First World War, life was changing with rapidity, especially in the Germany of the Weimar Republic.
Your name carries weight in Germany, Hermann. I ask you again.
It is no use, Franz, my friend. I will not address political meetings.
I have no concern with the forms and institutions of government.
Forms and institutions? Hermann, the Kaiser was overthrown. The Prussian Junkers forced back. For the first time, the German people have a promise of democracy and freedom.
How can I make you understand? I am concerned with culture, not politics.
Good day, Hermann. I am sorry that I wasted your time and mine.
Wait, Franz. Franz, I do not want you to leave with bitterness. I have been honest with you, my friend.
Yes, you have made your position clear. You enjoy a luxury that only an artist can afford.
Luxury?
To be unconcerned with freedom.
How do you know what freedom means to me?
I have listened to you, Hermann.
You talk of freedom and mean elections and jury trial and free enterprise. The right of working men to be thoughtless citizens and businessmen to be irresponsible money grubbers.
You fail to mention artists.
And the right of artists to be irresponsible bohemians. That is not what I mean.
Then I have not understood you at all.
I am talking of moral freedom. The freedom to see the world as it is, to understand what I am, to look for truth and know it when I find it.
Are you so certain, Hermann, that there is no relation between moral and social freedom, between the right to seek the truth and the right to vote?
No, Franz. I am past the age when things are certain. But this I know. I am not a political man. The audience is restless. Why are you shaking your head, Franz?
I was remembering how only a few short years ago you were convincing me that you were not a political man. Now you are to address a meeting.
You find it strange? Well, perhaps it is. But I have been learning to know myself. And whoever does that never remains what he was before.
Whatever the reason, I am happy for the change.
The world has also changed.
Not for the better. Not when the National Socialist Party can win seats in the Reichstag. Hermann, it is not entirely a friendly audience out there.
It doesn't matter so long as they listen.
Hitler has sent gangs of his fanatics. Now that the moment is here, I am not sure that you...
You are not sure that I should speak after all?
They stop at nothing.
In one respect, I have not changed, my friend. An artist also has responsibilities. If there are hours when the urgency of existence chokes back his own thought, when the general distress shakes him too, then he must do what he can and art must wait.
Hermann, the meeting is about to begin.
Well, now is the time. They are waiting, Hermann.
I was thinking of what I said just now. Is there ever a time when the needs of existence are not urgent? When the artist is so free from the immediate that he can devote himself entirely to the eternal?
Please, Hermann.
Listen, at home on the shelves where I keep my own works, there are as many volumes of speeches, lectures, essays, as there are novels.
You can't keep them waiting any longer.
I'm ready now.
Good evening, my friends. At an hour that is late for Germany and the world, I come to make an appeal for reason. I will talk of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, every single word of whose name is a fraud. How much longer it will be possible to speak freely, no one can say. Now, before it is too late, I ask you to subject the reasoning analysis, the high-flown, wishy-washy jargon, the hyphenated prefixes like race and folk, the fanatical barbarism that has such power to clog and stupefy the brain and make of human beings nothing more than...
Look, Katya, there is Germany only a few miles. You can see it from the window. And here is Switzerland.
Do sit down, Thomas, and relax.
It's peaceful here, no hatred and violence and barbarism. It is still part of the civilized world.
Then enjoy it while you can. Our vacation is almost over.
3 years ago, I appealed to reason.
In 3 years, they have taken over all of Germany. Katya, what's wrong with us that we permit such things to happen?
Excuse me. Hello? Yes. Yes. Oh, it's from Munich. Hmm? Maybe it's the children. Hello? Erika. Oh, how good to hear you. Yes, yes, I'm well, and Father, too. Now, Eric, you know, a little rain, very well, a storm, whatever it is, it won't keep him away from his desk. Oh, Thomas, She says that we are to stay in Switzerland. That bad weather is coming.
Let me talk to her. Yes. Hello, Erica. We are planning to leave in a day or so. Yeah, yes, yes, I heard, but... I see. Erica, my dear, be careful. Be very careful. Auf Wiedersehen.
I want to go home, Thomas.
No, my dear.
Oh, it's only a day sooner. I want to be with the children.
They are making arrangements to join us. Bad weather is coming. Very bad. The house cleaning, Erica says, will be too much for us.
Thomas Mann, who had begun by proclaiming himself long ago an unpolitical man, now lived in exile because he would not be silent. Words long unused in our time were heard again. Exile, emigre, refugee. And when they met, these exiles, the emigres, the words they spoke were dark with hate. But since he was Thomas Mann, there was also something more.
Hatred is the only right, the only possible reaction of those who love civilization.
My feelings need no logical justification, Herr Mann.
And yet I think that those are not our best hours in which we hate.
We are not given a choice.
But we are, Franz. When my hatred is overcome by the need for freedom, for reason and objective contemplation, I am intrigued by how big a role one man, such a man, plays in history.
Intrigued?
Consider, my friend. Here is a man 10 times a failure. Lazy, incapable of work, a disappointed bohemian artist, who has learned nothing and will learn nothing, who cannot sit a horse or drive a car or fly a plane or do anything that men do, even to begetting a child.
Please, Hermann, I find it impossible at this time to take the philosophic view.
Then the loss is yours, Franz, not his. We must have a proper perspective. And besides, philosophy is a powerful stimulant to the sense of irony, which is the native element of all art.
Hermann, there is, after all, a distinction between art and life.
Not so great as people think.
Nevertheless, I find nothing to be amused about.
Don't you? Just think. He must be rather annoyed that my last book, The Magic Mountain, is outselling Mein Kampf.
But not for long. Only until the burning of the books, when all of Mann's writings were banned. And while the Japanese were ordained honorary Aryans, he declared to be no longer a German. But still he spoke, this time through a silent exchange of letters, a dialogue in space, across the boundary between civilization and barbarism.
To Herrn Thomas Mann, writer.
This at least you are still forced to acknowledge.
As dean of the philosophical faculty of the University of Bonn, I inform you that as a consequence of your loss of citizenship...
Does the Third Reich still have citizens or slaves?
Your name is stricken from the university's roll of honorary doctors.
I have long since lost any pleasure in this academic honor.
Your right to use this title is cancelled in accordance with the regulations concerning the conferring of degrees.
I hold a more recent honorary degree of Doctors of Letters from Harvard University. Without boasting, I must quote the reason. For sustaining, together with a very few contemporaries, the high dignity of German culture. Do not say anything, Herr Dean. Nevertheless, there are things that I must say, not to you, whom I do not know, but to the German people.
And by hidden and secret means, The people of Germany received his words and read them and repeated them.
I am supposed to have dishonored the Reich in acknowledging that I am against these miserable creatures who happen to have the outward power to deprive me of my citizenship. They have the effrontery to confuse themselves with Germany.
When, after all, perhaps the moment is not far off when it will be of supreme importance to the German people not to be confused with them. As a man
who... Where did you get that paper?
What difference does it make? Just listen. As a man who seldom, or never either by tongue or pen, let the name of the deity escape him, yet
SS men, let's get away from here.
Don't be a fool. We're two friends talking in the street.
Then hide the paper, quick.
I don't have to look at it. I know the words by heart. This is what he said. Yet let me close this letter with a brief and fervent prayer. God help our darkened and desecrated country, and teach it to make peace with the world and with itself.
An artist builds a bridge with the tools he has in the years that are given to him. In the years when there was no peace anywhere in the world, not in Europe, nor in America, where Thomas Mann came to live, he used words, his tools, as an artist must. Every month he spoke by radio across the ocean to the German people, and some must have listened. And every day he worked at the cycle of novels that was becoming his life's work.
For Joseph was a man blessed with blessing from the heavens above and from the depths beneath. Well, Franz, what do you think of it?
What is there to say? The words cast a spell. Only...
The Zauberer.
Did you say something, Katya?
Just to myself, Thomas.
Oh. You have reservations about the story, Franz?
No. Only it seems strange that you should choose as the hero a biblical figure. Joseph, the son of Jacob.
Is it so strange? Joseph was also an exile, wasn't he? Banished by his brothers. But even more, he was a worldly man and at the same time a man of God.
There. That is what I find strange. That you seem to have turned to religion.
There's nothing new and entirely natural since I'm a writer.
But I have read what...
He's teasing you, Franz.
Only a little. Franz, tell me why it is that in German we do not have one word to describe a writer. We must use two.
Dichter and Schriftsteller.
Exactly. Poet and journalist. It is a false difference that corresponds to that between culture and civilization. Between God's will and the life of men in this world.
What has all this to do with Joseph?
Oh, don't you see? Jacob pronounced the blessing upon Joseph's head. And it was not a wish that he might be, but a statement that he was. Blessed from the heavens above and the depths beneath. Joseph was a man on earth and a child of God. A link between. Yes, between Schriftsteller and Dichter.
Thomas, my dear, aren't you confusing yourself with Joseph?
Oh, not only myself, but all men. For if a man is an artist, whether with words or with his life, what does that mean? That he has concern for the truth, for the good, the just and needful thing. In other words, the will of God. I hope that I have always been a religious man.
He was not attached to a piece of life, so he could see clearly all of life. Thinking to write of himself, he explained the meaning of his times. And out of his vision, he built between the mind and reality, between men and their world and God, a bridge that others might cross.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joel Schenker of Cedarhurst, Long Island, a member of the Board of Directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and of Temple Beth El in Cedarhurst, Long Island. Mr. Schenker.
Thomas Mann is no longer alive. But the memory of what his life stood for is vital and significant today. This man, who was one of the great literary figures of the 20th century, and indeed of the whole history of Western literature, will remain forever a symbol of integrity and a protest against communism and Nazism, which seeks to blot out not only an independent political and economic life, but also an independent intellectual and spiritual life. Although his books were among those burned by the Nazis during World War II, the ideas contained within them could never be destroyed, nor can the stature of Mann's literary genius be diminished in any way. This act of barbarism only served to enhance man's position as a leader of the men of the spirit against this attempt to destroy all that is meaningful in life. He will remain forever an immortal and eloquent spokesman for the preservation of spiritual values. Among the many themes which occupied Thomas Mann in his life was that of biblical narrative. His masterwork, the Joseph series, shows a deep understanding of biblical reality and of the forces which moved the great personalities portrayed in the Bible. His books about Joseph display a grasp of the factual and emotional factors involved in the career of this fascinating Hebrew personality. It is a study which enhances our understanding of the whole Bible story itself. The world is once again threatened by a totalitarianism which seeks to destroy the freedom of the mind and of the spirit. Once again, the world is threatened by a force which seeks to mold all men into one image. Once again, the world cries out for a voice whose message would be heard throughout the world. The message of Thomas Mann, which embodies the great heritage of freedom, the great Jewish contribution to the achievement of Western man, a message which will inspire all those who believe in freedom of the spirit and who fight for its preservation.
Thank you, Mr. Schenker. Eternal Light drama today, The Bridge, was written by Joseph Mindell and is based on true incidents in the life of Thomas Mann, with quotations from Order of the Day by Thomas Mann, published by Alfred A. Knopf. Featured in the cast were David Apatashu, Vilma Kura, Leon Janney, Theo Goetz, George Petrie, and Donald Bucher. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and is directed by Daniel Sutter. This is the NBC Radio Network.